Welcome to Hype, episode 173. My name is Selena. I have Pam here with me. We're on the other side of Christmas, ready to talk some entertainment news stories. How are you, Pam?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. It's been a really nice holiday season.
I'm so glad. I feel like it went by so quick this year, like even more so than normal.
It always does, and this year in particular, I feel like it's just been going so fast. I liked it, though, because this year I started decorating earlier than usual, and I, like, made myself a plan. I'm like, okay, I have to get the elves' house and the white stuff up on this day, and I have to get the tree on this day, and I have to do this and this and this. So it felt like I got more out of it, whether, like, most years it's, like, the 22nd, and I'm like, oh, shit, I haven't done anything. So it was nice this year.
I love that.
And all the food. Yeah.
The thing with like us is that we have Thanksgiving right before. So there's only early you can do things without people kind of like shaming you. But I should just stop caring what people think and just do whatever I want.
Yeah. Christmas in July.
Next year, I'm going to petition to get the Christmas tree on Black Friday. I think that would be better than shopping.
Do you have a real tree or a fake tree?
Oh, we always have a real tree. I think that, like, it's hard to think of, like, having a fake tree, but I get it. If you live in, like, a big city and stuff, it's just hard to get that to your house, you know?
But I was going to say, if you have a real tree, then getting it on Black Friday might mean that it's all wilted by Christmas. Because, like, ours is already, like, shaking its leaves off.
Really?
And it's pretty bad, yeah.
We got ours on December 1st. So,
and it's still good?
It's still great.
Green?
Yeah, oh, man. It looks good. We got a really fresh one. We're kind of close to the mountains now, though. So in my head, they like chopped them down not too long ago, and that helps with the freshness. Who knows?
All right. Well, welcome to tree hype, everyone.
We know this is all pine. You ever wanted.
Yes. You thought we were going to talk about Chris Pine? We were just going to talk
about pine. A tree for all season.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Anyway, welcome everyone back to the show. We're so excited. We actually, believe it or not, have some entertainment news stories to get through. Everyone's saying it's been a quiet time, but it's actually, there's some pretty solid stuff to talk about, including one trailer for a movie that shook me to my very core. We'll get to that in the news. Before we get into how we hype, we, as always, want to remind you of the contact information. If you want to send us an email or tweet or anything like that to tell us what you want us to talk about or just offer your feedback on what we've already talked about, you can email us hype@hypeable.com. You can tweet us @hypeablehype. You can find us on Instagram @hypeablehype. You can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can find us on Hypeable itself, which is hypeable.com. We also have a Patreon, which is where you can donate. No, it's where we have some special bonus content for everyone who is so wonderfully kind to donate $2 a month or more. You get a weekly bonus discussion. You get some extra bonus videos. You get some when we begin our Merlin rewatch, which is starting soon. You will get some bonus features related to that. There's contests and much more. So you can find out more about that or become a patron on patreon.com/hypepodcast. This week's bonus topic is going to be how we will be hyping 2K18. We're going to be looking a little bit ahead to the year of fandom 2018 and talking about, you know, our year in fandom, sort of a loose discussion of pop culture highlights and things we're excited about. We also have a little bit of an announcement here at the top of the show. It's within 5 minutes. It counts as the top of the show. For our end of year wrap up show, which is actually going to be like the beginning of 2018, time is running away from us. We want to do another call-in show. Pam had a lot of fun doing hers on 1 week in the summer when I was away. My holiday, it's been so long. But it seemed like a lot of fun and we want to do another one. So we unfortunately can't yet tell you the exact dates because we haven't figured that out yet. But we will update you on Twitter and everywhere, you know, on our outlets. It'll be probably Wednesday next week, which is the 3rd, I believe, Wednesday, January 3rd. And we will give you guys some times where you can Skype in and talk to us. And, you know, we'll be like talking a little bit about the year that's gone by, some things you're excited about, pretty much what we'll also be talking about in the Patreon, but like more. And yeah, we're so excited. We hope that you guys want to call in and talk to us. And if you are interested, then you can tweet us or leave us a comment on Hypeable or send us an email, hype@hypeable.com. We will get the exact time frames out to you. Hopefully we'll be able to hit enough people's availability and we can manage to make it work. So yeah, more details coming, but we're very, very excited to start off 2018 by talking to you guys. Yay, exciting. Okay, so I think that was all my announcements. So moving into how we hype, where we tell you what we've been doing in fandom this past week. Pam, you are the person who goes to the movies.
I do. Between the two of us. And I'm so glad you do. Much. I go to, you know, I just go to, I go to escape. I love going to the movies. I wish it was cheaper. I wish MoviePass would send me my card already so that I could, you know, take advantage of that. But yeah, it's just a really nice way to kind of get away from things that are happening outside in the world or at home or whatever. And I just like really enjoy going and keeping up to date with all of that stuff. Ironically, I don't write enough about the movies, but I sure do go. So I went to see two movies. I went to see The Greatest Showman and I went to see I, Tonya. And well, actually, that's a lie. I saw I, Tonya in a screener form at my house because they sent me a link. That was very nice of them.
Oh, nice.
But I went to The Greatest Showman. I actually left the house to go see that with the family. Really nice little Christmas movie. And yeah, if you're looking for an escape, like, my gosh, that movie is, it really reminded me a lot of Moulin Rouge in the sense that it's like a true musical and a lot of the sets and things like that are very fantastical. Like, it does look like a stage production almost. And the music is really great. It's got a lot of, like, strangely, some very positive messages about acceptance and not being ashamed of who you are and things like that. But yeah, it's just like, it was really lovely. So if you're looking for something really fun and you're into musicals, I would highly recommend going to see that. I really enjoyed it a lot. And I, Tonya is a movie I've been really excited about for a while. It's also gotten a lot of preemptive award show buzz as well. This is a story of Tonya Harding, who, of course, was an Olympic figure skater, and she's probably most famous for the Nancy Kerrigan scandal that happened in the 90s, where Nancy got her kneecap shattered. There was a man that just, like, went up to her while she was practicing and hit her with a police baton on the knee, and it was all over the news, and they traced it back to Tonya Harding's then husband and a few of his friends who were trying to give her. It was like this whole big thing anyway. But yeah, like, the movie is kind of a dramatized, stylized story of her life as a figure skater. She actually has a really interesting story because she was not the picture perfect version of what a figure skater should be, especially in Olympic figure skating. They want you to look like little dolls and come from like a certain kind of family and things like that. And Tonya Harding was never that. She grew up really poor. She was considered like trailer park trash and she was really edgy, but she like had a lot of talent, but they never scored her well because she didn't look like the champion that they wanted until she just started doing things that nobody else could do. She became the first woman in America to land a triple axel, which was like a really big deal, things like that. So yeah, if you're interested in like a documentary, I would recommend The Price of Gold, which is on Netflix still, I believe. And it's got a lot of like interviews with Tonya and a bunch of other people that were involved in her career, her short-lived career as a figure skater professionally, because she started when she was really young. But the movie's really great too. It stars Margot Robbie, our favorite Sebastian Stan. Allison Janney is amazing in it. Yeah, highly recommend. It's a great kind of like, it is a drama, but it's almost kind of got some dark comedy elements to it because these characters, like these people have just become like characters of themselves. And yeah, so it was really great.
Oh, cool. I'm glad to hear it. Do you think either of them have like chances at the award shows and stuff?
I think that the person that blew me away the most was definitely Allison Janney. She was just over the top amazing. And I really hope that she gets some kind of nod for maybe best supporting actress. It'd be really fun to see that. But yeah, the movie was great. It, you know, if you've seen the buzz around, definitely check it out. I think it wide releases sometime in January. I think on January 12th it wide releases. So.
All right, so I have some Howie hypes, and they are Christmas presents because I got some nice fandom-related stuff this year, aside from these headphones that I'm wearing right now, which are very nice. And one of the things I got was Philip Pullman's The Book of Dust, La Belle Sauvage, which is the first, or Savage, I believe, which is the first installment of his new series. So I finally got it. I'm so excited. I've been talking about getting it for so long, and I talked about how I wanted to read it over Christmas, and, you know, the Santa came with the book for me so I could read it, and I read it in like 2 days. It was so good. You know, obviously, it's kind of like a prequel. As you may know, if you haven't read it yet, it's kind of a prequel to His Dark Materials, which is that really fantastic fantasy series following Lyra in this world where there are demons and there are all these magical instruments. And it's very, very, very exciting. And this one takes us back to when Lyra was a baby. So she's actually, I don't want to give too much away, but it's been out for like a while now. So I'll just say that she is like in the story quite a lot, but it doesn't really follow her. It follows a boy named Malcolm as well as some other people, and it's a completely new perspective, but it's funny because it's not as big of a story, but that's kind of the point. Like, Malcolm is kind of like the Hobbit to Lyra's Aragorn, sorry. too many stories. But yeah, no, it's kind of It is very exciting, and some big stuff happens, especially towards the end. But it is a bit more of a like a meandering, smaller story. But that doesn't make it any less great. I think that Malcolm, I might like him as a protagonist even more than Lyra, which is saying something because I love Lyra a whole lot. And maybe I do still love her the most. But I really do love Malcolm. He's a fantastic protagonist. And it is really interesting to see what kind of early life adventures that we never knew that Lyra was somehow involved with. And now I know we had a listener who said that it would have been really beneficial to reread his his Dark Materials before picking this up. And I can definitely see that it would have been. I didn't do that. I just went straight into this book. And I feel like there are some characters and elements that are going over my head. I have to look at the Wikipedia page to make sure I capture them all, but it was still really enjoyable. Like, even if you don't really know anything about His Dark Materials, I think you might really find The Book of Dust a fast, easy, enjoyable read. And I really loved it. So I'm glad I finally read it. Are you planning on reading it too?
I am. I didn't get any books this year for Christmas, but I did get some gift cards. So I'm going to pick Book of Dust up, and I'm also going to pick up the illustrated edition of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. So I'm really nice. Excited to
I wonder how it
get
ends.
Those. I know, right?
Plot Maybe twist, it'll be different guys. This time.
Yeah, but yeah, like, I'm really excited to sink my teeth into this book. We talked a lot about how big fans we are of His Dark Materials, and I just love that everybody's so in love with this new book, because sometimes it's, you know, it is kind of scary to see authors, like, it's exciting but also scary to see them return to beloved stories.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you never know how people are going to perceive them. But I love that it stands on its own, and I love knowing that you really like the protagonist. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
Good. Yeah, you really should be. It's really good. And I also just really quickly wanted, I might bring these up again for future Howie hypes, but for Christmas, I actually also got two games for the Nintendo Switch. I got one from my brother and one from my uncle, so I have both of the Marios now on top of the Zelda one I already had. So Mario Odyssey, I can't really give a review yet because I only just played it for like a couple of hours this morning, and it looked great, and early on in the game, like, suddenly you're a dinosaur and it's amazing. And I was just like, it's a really, really, really beautiful game. My brother actually got a television for Christmas, like a really big television, which we don't really have. It's okay. Like, it's pretty big. Until I saw his, I thought it was a pretty big television. Now I know what a big television is. So that was in the living room for a precious short amount of time, and I got to play on there, and I also got to play Mario Kart. Me and my brother were racing against each other, and that is really fun. Like, might even be more fun than the
other game. Fun.
Oh my god! That game. Yes,
it's like not the only reason, but it's like a very big motivator in getting myself a Switch because I had so much fun playing it at a friend's house the other day.
It is so fun. And like, I don't know about you, but I'm not a Mario Kart fan, really. Like, I've never really, actually racing games in general, I'm not really a big fan of them. So I've never really given them much attention. But this one, it's so beautiful. And it's so satisfying to get the little things. And to win the little stupid races.
Like, they have so many worlds. And if you're fans of like customizing, like you can customize your car and your character. It's just really fun. I'm really bad at Mario Kart. I never liked playing on the 64 when I was younger because I am notoriously awful at it. But it's just something about playing it on the Switch. It's just, I think it is because it's so, so beautiful fun. And the graphics are so great. And you can, you know, you can obviously play like multiplayer and it's just really fun.
It's so fun. And like that's one of the things that, as aside from it being like genuinely beautiful, and again, that's why I mentioned my brother's television, because it's very obvious on the big television. Unfortunately, he took it into his own room now, so I'll never see it again, but it was fun while it lasted. But yeah, no, the graphics are beautiful. And I think it's really sympathetic that the Switch controller splits into two, because usually you have to get a second controller before you can play two player, right? But this one, you can just split it into two. And we have these little wheels for them that we got for cheap, and yeah, it was just a lot of fun. So I am surprised by how much I like that one. And yeah, those were some of my fandom related Christmas presents, and I would very much like to hear if any of you guys who are listening got any fandom related gifts that you've been digging into. Let us know. Or maybe you just got cinema tickets and you went to see a bunch of movies, and we would also love to know that. And moving into the news now, the first story is actually a trailer for a movie that is coming out that I only just watched it before we started the show, and like I almost started crying. This is terrible. So Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, has a trailer out, and it is like, it looks so good, but it's also breaking my heart and I don't know how to feel about it. Have you seen this trailer?
Oh, yeah. Like, I could not believe this. But also, like, it makes sense in terms of the little that we know about the story.
Yeah. I mean, it does make sense. I cannot believe that, like, we can say it. It's a trailer. It's out now. But, like, it seems like they killed her. And that's just terrible. I don't get why they would do this. I'm so heartbroken. Like, I understand the symmetry of the story. You know, because now Amanda Seyfried is the one who has to be alone, and she wouldn't have been alone if the mother had been there, I understand. But it's like, it makes me really sad. So now I want to watch this movie, but I don't want to be like super sad. But okay, so that aside, like it looks fantastic. Lily James obviously plays a young Meryl Streep. We get to see the story that was alluded to in the first movie where she falls in love with all these men and she doesn't know who the father is and she has all these adventures, and they obviously bring back the two friends and all the dads, and Cher turns up as the grandmother. And it just, it looks like it's going to be flashing back between two wonderful, encouraging, heartwarming, and probably very, very bittersweet and sad stories. And it's going to make you feel all the feels. And it does look really good, even if it will be sad.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I was very in awe of this.
I feel like everybody kind of knows. I think we were just expecting to feel all the warm, fuzzy feels. And I'm sure we'll get some of those too. But this is like tear-jerking feels.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's Meryl Streep.
I know. You know? How dare you?
It hurts. I think this does look very, very good, even though it was kind of a gut punch. But that's what they want. Oh, they always know what to do to your emotions. So annoying. But yeah, it looks amazing. It's going to come out on July 20th, 2018. So I can probably expect it sometime in 2020. I'm very excited.
We have a little bit of casting news for you guys as well. Artemis Fowl is a movie that's been in production for a while. Disney owns the rights. It's actually going to be directed by Kenneth Branagh, so that'll be interesting, coming off the heels of Murder in the Orient Express, which everybody kind of seemed to enjoy, it sounds like. And they finally found their Artemis Fowl, which is really exciting if you've been following production on this for a while. He's going to be played by Irish newcomer, and I'm probably going to butcher this name because Irish names are never pronounced the way they look on paper. Ferdia Shaw?
Yeah.
What do you think? Hopefully.
I get that sounds right. Yeah.
All right. So that is your Artemis Fowl. He'll be playing the 12-year-old genius. Now, I've never read this book series. I tried to pick it up when I was working at a library in my university years, because the children's librarian said that if I liked Harry Potter, I would like Artemis Fowl. But I think I was just, kind of similar to Series of Unfortunate Events, I had kind of outgrown the children's writing, which is like awful to say, you know? Like, I know you never want to like outgrow it, but at a certain point, it's kind of like you can't keep up with a series if it doesn't grasp your attention right away. And I think I was just not, it was not a book for me at the time, but I know that it has a huge following. So if you're really excited about this, we'd love to hear from you. And Shaw is not the only person that's going to be featured in the adaptation of Owen Colfer's novel. Josh Gad is also coming on board to play Mulch Diggers. And Judi Dench has also been cast to play the leader of the fairy police force, Commander Root. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. I haven't read this book either, so I can't really speak much to it either. I mean, I just remember it came out around the same time as Harry Potter, and it was kind of like, in my school, it was like everyone made a choice. You know, like you either read Harry Potter or you read Artemis Fowl, and it was like a big thing. So I chose Harry Potter, so I couldn't read Artemis Fowl. That just would not be cool. So so that's why I've never read it, but I'm excited for this. I'm a little bit, I mean, Kenneth Branagh is good, but I feel like you always know what movie he's going to make, if that makes sense. Like, no, not to like diss on him, but he tends to make the same movie. So I already know what it's going to look like, basically. But I'm ready to give it a chance.
Yes, that's true. Although at the same time, like, because you're right, he's like he's kind of like Guy Ritchie in that sense, where like if he's gonna make an action movie, you kind
just
of know.
Just less interesting.
Yeah, but he's got this very stylized approach, uses similar bag of tricks. So I think that for this and for a kids movie, it'll be really fun because he tends to put a lot of motion into his movies. But yeah.
I would love to see something like Hugo for this one.
Yeah, Hugo is beautiful. I loved Hugo.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on, we have a bit of Star Wars, The Last Jedi news. We talked about it at length in our bonus, but we haven't really talked about it on the main show because we've wanted to keep it spoiler-free, but it's past Christmas now. It's been out for a while. If you still haven't seen it, then skip ahead a couple of minutes. We're going to be talking about some of the deleted scenes that are going to be included on The Last Jedi's home release. And it's actually an additional 20 minutes of footage, according to Slash Film, which is incredible considering that the movie was already like almost a full night length movie long. You know, it's over 2.5 hours, and this is going to bump it up to near 3 hours. And the deleted scenes, according to this report, includes a lot of different stuff, like a major sequence on Octo, character tweaks for Holdo. There's a love triangle, which was vaguely present in the movie we saw, which is going to be more highlighted in this. It doesn't sound like it's going to be an extended edition, which is kind of a shame, because that would definitely be more interesting to watch, but it's probably going to be as deleted scenes. But yeah, the love triangle bit, I think, is the stuff that is the most interesting, because obviously the Finn, Rose, Rey stuff that was... You picked up on it in one of the final scenes when Rose has kissed Finn and she's passed out and he's like watching over her, and you see Rey kind of look over after Rey and Finn have had their big reunion, and there's kind of this moment when you're like, I wonder where that's going to go. And it turns out that during their Canto Bites extended casino sequence, Rose accused him of pining for Rey, and he talks about how his friendship with Rey has kind of fueled him to have a reason to fight, and then Rose is all jealous. So this is frustrating because I feel like, I mean, for the obvious reasons, I feel like it's you already kind of got the sense that there was a potential love triangle, but I feel like the way they played it, you could excuse it as being like, oh, well, you know, there might have maybe possibly been like something between Rey and Finn in another universe, but this one is clearly going to Rose and Finn. And like, as frustrating as it is, how rushed it was and how much it felt like, I felt like it overshadowed the of her connection to her sister. I mean, that was fine. That's fine that it's going this way. But knowing that they had plans and almost even did film this very cliched love triangle stuff just kind of makes me really sad. You know, it's 2017. I feel like The Force Awakens took us like so far beyond that, you know? So I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I think that if anything, this kind of cements that most likely that's what we're going to see in the next movie. Like, we're going to see.
But that's not possible because it's JJ.
Well, that's true. I mean, you're right. I completely forgot that we have now a new director who could take it in a completely different way.
My reason for hoping is because it feels like Rian Johnson kind of was like, "What? Screw whatever JJ did. I'm going to make my own Star Wars movie." So whatever he has done now that might have diverged from JJ's original plan, JJ can now correct.
It's possible, know? Unless he agrees that they, well, maybe not. Maybe it was always meant to be one couple, you know. But the thing is that, like, I'm not really too worried about it too, just because while there has always been slight romance in Star Wars, like in the Star Wars universe, it's never really taken like a front seat to the action. It's always kind of like an afterthought. Yeah. So I guess it's not really a big deal in hindsight, but I get the frustration because it's like, but at the same time, it's kind of nice that you didn't have to see it on screen too. Like, mm-hmm. So as a deleted scene,
yeah, that
it doesn't
is
carry.
At least good.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it just kind of confirms that is what it was going to be. So, I mean, anyway, that'll be interesting to see when it comes on screen. Another scene that was cut was a quote unquote buddy scene between Poe and Finn. So there you go. But they decided to cut it because of time. Okay, whatever, Mr.
Is that what the kids
ever.
Call it these days?
Oh my gosh. There was also a few I'm really interested to see. There was a few deleted scenes with Admiral Holdo to kind of soften her dismissal of Poe. There was a Tom Hardy cameo, which was cut, but which might appear. And this is one I'm actually really sad is cut because it sounds amazing. Tom Hardy as a stormtrooper recognizes Finn in his First Order uniform. And he's like, really happy and like happy to see him and stuff. And then later Captain Phasma shoots her own troopers because she's worried that they will be turned against her by Finn. So, I mean, I feel like that would have, I don't know. I feel like there's so much to Finn's character in that little moment that might have made his mission feel that much more like what he did, what he turned away from and what that cost him. Would have been really interested to see on screen. So I'm glad we're getting that as a deleted scene.
I also kind of love that because it humanizes, like, it has the potential to humanize other people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's, and like, well, it's like, because you're meant to believe that Finn is the anomaly, but maybe he's not the only exception. So it's nice.
Yeah. And that's like what I remember, one of the many moments in The Force Awakens that just took my breath away was this feeling. I knew we knew it already in the trailers, but seeing it on the big screen that, you know, so far the stormtroopers had just been like cardboard cutout kind of, you know, villains. But here there's someone behind the mask and we're going to follow this person and we're going to, you know, empathize with this person and we're going to see him turn away. I love that so much. So I'm very much looking forward to that scene. There's some other stuff, like there's a sequence of Luke being a jerk to Rey, stuff like that. It's it's going to be fun. 20 minutes of extra footage coming to the Blu-ray and DVD.
That's just crazy to me. I'll be excited to check those out for sure. We have a little bit more Star Wars news for you guys. We also learned this week that Lando actually almost showed up in The Last Jedi. Imagine how crazy mm-hmm. that would have been.
I know, I would have loved that.
Yeah, yeah. I guess they would have tapped the original actor because you know, he's got to be a little bit older, obviously. But yeah, this was just like, it's really fun to find out that that was actually a possibility. There's no word yet on what he would have been doing if he had actually come back. But apparently Rian Johnson told The Playlist, which is an outlet online, that they almost found out, like the audience almost found out what he would have been up to if they had actually included him. So he was briefly considered for the role played by Benicio del Toro. So he would have been a morally ambiguous hacker and codebreaker. So
that's kind of
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. What do you feel about like that? Do you think that would have fit for him?
I'm not sure it would have. I also think it would have been way too convenient that they just happened to stumble into Han Solo's best friend at this casino place. I feel like he might be at the casino somehow. I feel like he might be scamming them, but that would have been too convenient, as much as I would have liked to see Lando again.
Well, it looks like Johnson kind of agrees with you, because he went on to say that he, at the end of the day, he just couldn't see Lando following that path that Benicio del Toro's DJ ended up playing. So it's kind of nice to know that they realized that it was a little bit out of character. Although I do kind of hope, I know that we're going to see like his past in Solo, but I do kind of hope that we maybe get to hear of him in passing. I think that even if we don't see him, it would be fun to just hear of Lando.
It would, especially because they're all gone now. Like, everyone else is gone.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he can come in and be the hero in the last one.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be nice. I would love that.
Well, speaking of Lando.
Yeah.
Speaking of Lando, we all know that Donald Glover is set to play young Lando in the Solo anthology that's coming out later this year, right? This will be up before 2018.
Yeah. But yeah.
We'll get to see Donald Glover in Solo in 2018. And he's been like kicking butt, basically, because not only is he going to be a part of the Star Wars universe, but he's also joining the Disney family in another big way. He's going to be voicing Simba in The Lion King. And we learned earlier this week as well that he's officially started recording his part with director Jon Favreau. So that's really exciting. Jon took to Twitter and he tweeted a really cute photo of himself with Donald and titled it Simba Returns and added a little emoji of a lion and a crown.
Yay!
So,
I love it.
That was just really fun to see. Yeah, I love Donald Glover. Like, every time I see him, he makes me so happy. He just looks like such a happy guy. So that's great.
And one of our final stories of the week is that the Critics' Choice Awards have chosen to award their second annual hashtag See Her Award to Gal Gadot, who starred in Wonder Woman. So she is taking the quote-unquote crown from none other than Viola Davis. So that's a hard act to follow. She won the first one last year for her work in How to Get Away with Murder. And Gadot is obviously going to be awarded for the work she did with Wonder Woman, the type of heroine that she put on film and how it has advanced the way that we view female heroes on the big screen. So this is fantastic. Kendall Ashley in the post, she notes that Hollywood may not have a great reputation for how it treats women, both on and off screen. However, the See Her Award is hopefully signaling a changing tide in the industry and creating a culture of empowerment. So that's really nice, I think.
Yeah, I think that it's like a perfect choice, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I love that. Especially because of what she's come to represent with Wonder Woman, and Wonder Woman has swept us all off of our feet. And yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. And we have one final story here. You know, revivals are still going strong over in the TV industry. And in 2018, we'll get another revival that, you know, I feel like Roseanne was, you know, big hit in the 80s and 90s, but Roseanne is definitely one of those shows that's an acquired taste. And, you know, if you were a big fan of this show back in the day, then I'm sure you're excited to see it come back. And they actually finally released a teaser trailer for the revival, which I think is actually really fun, because Roseanne was always very cut and dry, and they kind of really poke fun at the idea of the revival. It's very tongue-in-cheek, specifically about John Goodman coming back, because as fans of the original will know, Dan actually died in the finale. So it's kind of been a little bit of a source of questioning amongst fans as to how they're going to explain his appearance in the revival. And so the trailer kind of talks a little bit about that. There's little clips about, you know, how things are usually gone forever, but Dan's there, of course. And then they also kind of play around with the fact that Becky Connor was actually played by two actresses, Alicia Goranson and Sarah Chalk, who some of you will know from How I Met Your Mother and also Scrubs. And they're both back for their revivals, which is pretty funny. So yeah, it's a really fun little trailer. And if you want to take a look at it, it's over on Hypebeable.com. The revival is set to premiere on March 27th. So it's just around the corner, really.
Okay, fun. I've never watched it. I have no interest in it, but I'm glad. I'm excited to see how it stacks up against the other revivals. Moving on now to TV show of the week. I don't have anything. I didn't watch any TV show this week. I just played my games and read my books and watched the Lord of the Rings marathon on my brother's big television. It was amazing. What did you do?
I didn't really watch a lot of TV either. I mean, like, all the shows are on break right now. This Is Us comes back on the second week of January. And yeah, that's all. I know that that's coming up. So I'll be watching that. Watched a lot of Hallmark. Can't go wrong with the cheesy Hallmark movies. And just spent time with my family. You know, like, all of my brothers and sisters now are like, they're all in college. And so it's really fun to just kind of get back together because we don't get to see them very often anymore. So I took a little break from the pop culture and the TV, which is always kind of nice to do.
It is nice. Yeah, I was going to say, we just watched The Lord of the Rings for like all of the 25th. We just watched the first two because they extended. They take forever. But it was so amazing.
And yeah, we so watch nice a lot of just movies together during the holidays. That's true. Mm. We watch like a lot of Christmassy movies. Do you have a favorite, like, is Lord of the Rings like your go-to like Christmas marathon?
No, well, actually, it's Dollhouse.
Oh, fun. I love it.
The TV series by Joss Whedon. Me and my mother watched it. I got it for Christmas, you know, whenever 2014 or whenever it came out. And I just started watching it and she watched it and we loved it. And then we just watched it like every year since. But then we didn't watch it this year because we watched The Lord of the Rings, actually. So I'm in a little bit of a Dollhouse drought. I miss it. It's for some reason, that's what we watch at Christmas. Yeah. What about you?
We don't do a marathon, but we kind of have like movies that we watch every year. So we always watch How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Ron Howard live action one with Jim Carrey. I think that that's like so funny. We always watch The Holiday and Love Actually and Elf. Like those are like the basically. Oh, and Home Alone. If we can't, if we don't have time for both Home Alones, like we always watch Home Alone 2. Because it's just, I don't know why we think it's funnier, but it is. But yeah, like all of those just like hold up over time. And we, you know, if they're funny, like we always laugh. And if they're a little heartfelt, we always cry. So those are really fun. Aww. But this year, actually, I watched Arthur Christmas for the first time. And I thought of you because one of the first scenes takes place in Denmark. And there's this big sign that says, what is it? Glil Yule? I can't.
Glil Yule.
Yes. Yeah. And I was like, Selena. But I know the holidays are over, but if you have not seen Arthur Christmas, 10 out of 10 would recommend because it.
Okay.
I laughed, I cried, and I laughed some more, and it was the cutest thing. So I really
enjoyed
that.
I've never seen it, but that sounds good. Okay, so we're going to move on to listener feedback now. We have a couple of tweets from y'all, and we have some responses to what you want us to talk about because we knew this was going to be a little bit of a short show, so we asked for topic suggestions. Do you want to get the first one?
Yes, we have a tweet here from Ning who says, catching up on Hypebeable hype and 100% watching Christmas Inheritance because of you girls. She also included a laugh crying emoji, so I really hope that that means that she thought it was great.
I hope so. I mean, what's not to like? Eliza Taylor and everything else. It's good. Love Meal says, catching up on hype. Lots of catching up here. And Selena finally read Becky Albertalli's Simon Versus and she thinks it's adorable and so good. This makes me dang happy. Becky Albertalli also liked this tweet. So we know that someone She saw someone liked her book, so that's always nice. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I finally read it.
You have to read The Upside of Unrequited now. I'm excited for you to read that. Emmy Foss says, my sister's Christmas present is Merlin. Amazing. We love it.
Yes. Now you can watch along with us. Side note, I got my the DVDs are now in my possession, so I'm ready to watch whenever we can find the time. We would have loved, because the 5-year anniversary has come and gone for the series finale. It was this Christmas, and if we had had the ability, we would have released our first episode on that date. But unfortunately, the postal office had other plans. Curse them and their houses. So now we have to wait. But yeah. Laura Morrow says, I maybe can't watch Star Wars, but I did score an early Hulu gift card and I can watch Runaways. And this is great. She's actually, I've seen her tweets pop up on my timeline and she loves it. So I'm very glad. I knew you would like it. And then we asked for some listener topics to discussion. And actually, Meg brought up a really good topic for us, which is because today we're recording on December 27th. And obviously, it's the 1-year anniversary of Carrie Fisher's death. So she suggested that we highlight some of Carrie Fisher's best interview moments. And I don't know if you want to go first.
Sure. I mean, like, I really, these are kind of like fairly newer. It's kind of hard to find like old interview clips, like, or find the source of like some of her greatest moments, because I think that there's a lot of greatest moments montages. But I really just love some of her Force Awakens stuff. Like, I loved her interview with Steve Colbert on The Late Late Show, where she talks about how, like, even in space, there's double standards, and that's why Leia doesn't have a lightsaber, even though she can use the Force, and she has command of that, and things like that. And I also really liked, she did a episode of Spoilers with Kevin Smith, who I adore, and this was a couple years back. You can actually find the full clip on YouTube via Hulu, and it's just a fun, like, loose chat with her and Kevin, and he talks about, like, what it meant to grow up idolizing not necessarily just Princess Leia, but Carrie Fisher. And there's this really cute moment at the end where he says that, like, because of her, he went out looking for a wife that could, you know, stand up to men and who was, like, strong-willed and things like that. And that was one of the reasons that he adores his wife, is because she is very strong, like Carrie, and also like Leia was, and stuff like that. But yeah, I also really like, anytime, like, because, you know, a lot of times, unfortunately, women, when they come on to do any action-y type movies, people always ask, like, how did you get in shape? Or, like, did you lose weight for the role? Like, this, and that. And I always just kind of loved that she had a really smart tongue-in-cheek quip about, you know, how I think, like, her main line was, like, oh, they only wanted to hire part of me, not all of me. Like, they wanted to hire 3/4 of me. And you could tell she just gets so tired of those questions because people focus so much on her body transformation, both then and also before she died and stuff. And I just love that she just had such a way of kind of turning the conversation around to the important part of that, which is that women are forced to lose weight for roles.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I love that. I also struggle to find specific interview clips with Carrie Fisher because I was never, like, I never watched that many. And then after she died, I find it really difficult to sort of go back and find them. But one story that sort of always stuck out to me, and it's very famous, everyone knows it, but I really like it. It's the one about her always putting glitter on people. I feel like it's popped up in a few different settings, but the one that I first read, which is someone who was a volunteer at Dragon Con, she met Carrie Fisher and she just came over. She didn't say anything. She just took out her makeup case and she started brushing glitter onto her face. And then she didn't say anything. She just, like, booped her nose when she walked past. And they found out that she'd been doing that to people she met and just kind of bringing glitter into their lives. And it's just, it's such a quintessential Carrie Fisher thing to do, but it's also just so wonderful. Like, here she comes and she, like, sprinkles glitter on you and she disappears. That's just, I love that. I love that story the minute I read it, and it's kind of, like, stuck in my mind ever since. So it's not something she said, it's something she did that I feel like really expressed, you know, who she was and kind of the the kind of magic that she brought into people's lives, you know? It was wonderful.
I love that.
I love that so much, yeah.
It probably just makes you smile because I feel like if somebody came and just didn't say anything and just brushed glitter on me, I would probably just laugh and have like the best day after because that's so sweet.
Yeah, I know. So yeah, we would love to hear from you guys as well, Meg or anyone else, if you have anything you would like us to mention on the next show. The final tweet that we have is actually from Jess Bagtus, and it goes a little bit into what we're going to be talking about on the bonus, but I thought it would be fun to bring it up here for everyone. She asks, any New Year goals? Do you have any personal, professional, or podcast-related goals? So obviously the Merlin one is our goal. We probably won't finish it next year, but we'll certainly get far.
Yeah.
That's I'm very excited for that, honestly. Like, we've been talking about it for so long, and now it's, like, within our grasp. We're going to be starting it so soon, and I'm so, so excited to rewatch it all.
I know.
With you guys.
Me too. It's, like, a big undertaking, but we're really happy to do it, so.
Yeah. And we hope to get some people in listening who might not otherwise listen to our podcast, but who just wants to re-experience the magic of Merlin with us. So if you guys know anyone who might be interested, then please spread the word. And send them a link to our first episode when that goes live. What other goals? That's what do you have any? Do you have
for
any
the,
goals?
For the podcast?
Dreams, hopes, for a general?
It's a loaded question. yes, but they're not ready to be announced. I don't know. I think I always want to push myself a little bit more professionally. Journalism is hard, yo. Like that's but I always my goal is always to be better than I was last year. So yeah, I just wanna do more and figure out how to bring it all together. Cause I feel like especially like I know Selena can relate to this too. When you're trying to succeed in journalism, especially in entertainment journalism, you kind of have to be a Jack or Jane of all trades, if you will.
Yeah.
So yeah. There's a lot of moving parts always. And I'd like to figure out how to put them all together. And I don't know how that's going to work yet, but we'll see.
Interesting. Very mysterious. Yeah, I am.
That's because I'm still thinking on it, too. But that's my goal, is like figuring out how to put everything in one place.
Figuring it out. Yeah, I know exactly the feeling. It sometimes feels like you don't know how to do anything. But like, that's not true at all. Like, you know how to do a whole lot of stuff, but you don't sit with one thing like 8 hours every day, all day, because you do a bunch of different things. So that can sometimes be a little bit disheartening. No, for the podcast, I would love to get some more interviews. We did them a lot in the past, and we did a lot kind of in the beginning of 2017, the first half. But then in the second half, we've been so busy. So much has been going on just in our personal lives and in the world. And we've kind of had to down prioritize that a little bit because it's a lot of work and it's a lot of planning and it's a lot of reaching out and figuring things out. But yeah, no, I would love to get back to doing some more of that. I have a couple of things in the pipeline. I have one particular thing in the pipeline, and maybe you can guess what it is, but I'm working on it, guys. I'm doing what I can. But yeah, no, and I'll be going to Unity Days as well and talking to some of the 100 people there. And I'm going to try to reach out to interviews, but I'm not sure that they will be doing any. So I can't promise you anything from there, but I'm going to do what I can. And professional goals, I mean, 2017 has been a year of big changes and realizations, and maybe the biggest realization of all is that I have to find steady, permanent employment in the place where I am. You know, it's working remotely, as I do, has come with some limitations that have been frustrating, to say the least. So that's definitely part of my professional plan. I finished my dissertation, my master's dissertation this year. I've graduated. I need to move places, not physically, but I need to move places. So that should be very interesting. I'm cautiously excited for 2018. It can bring some exciting new changes, or it could just be more of the same. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, you guys have any like goals for us?
I know.
Anything you want to hear us do or see us do, whatever, please tell us, not personally.
Yeah, not personally. We already have to do that. We put way too much pressure on ourselves, I think.
Yeah, if you have any life goals,
but we will always take like motivation. So if you want to like periodically tell us that we can do it, we'll take that.
Send us a little gift. Yeah, just
send us little boosts of like, yeah. But for the podcast, like, yeah, let us know what you guys would want to see because, you know, you're kind of like little co-producers. We want to make you guys happy.
Yes. Exactly, exactly. And I hope I hope you guys will continue to enjoy the show and continue to let us know if there's anything you want more or less of, because the show is constantly evolving with you guys, and we're trying to give you to make your whatever, wherever you listen to this, the commute, the gym, the while you're cleaning, whatever, like we want to make that hour of your life a little bit more enjoyable. So tell us how to do that, and then that will be our resolution for 2018. And I think that nicely wraps up this show, this final show of 2K17. Good riddance, am I right? It's Wednesday, December 27th right now, so New Year's is on Sunday, and our next show is next week. Don't forget that this will be featuring live call-ins if we can figure out the scheduling, so keep your eyes peeled for that and let us know if you already know that you are interested, and likely we will be trying to schedule sometimes on Wednesday. If that does not work for you, but you would like to participate, let us know, because we can be flexible, because we want to hear from you guys and welcome 2018 in style. More information about that on our Twitter, which is at HypeableHype. You can send us an email, which is hype@hypeable.com. Oh my God, I'm out of 2017 memory. I hope I get a new one for 2018. I hope it resets. And you can leave us a comment on Hypeable, which is hypable.com under episode 173 in the podcast section. We also have an Instagram, which is at HypeableHype, and we have a Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com, and our Patreon, if you are interested in becoming a Patreon subscriber at the $2 level, or if you are a patron and you just forgot the address, then it's patreon.com/hypepodcast. This week's bonus discussion will be a little bit of a retrospective, a little bit of looking ahead to the year of entertainment 2018. Have a wonderful New Year's, everyone. Happy New Year. Hope you have a wonderful celebration, and see you in 2018. My name is Selena.
And my name is Pamela.
That's not the right one. Oh, yeah. That was the EU song, I think.
Amazing.